the last time I shared with you here around the Lord's table, we were looking at the beaten, torn body of Jesus. He was hanging there on the cross, and we just could not look away. The awfulness of the cross has now come to its logical end. The one that they had nailed there was now dead. Even the crowds, the cheering crowds there, the ones who had called and cried for his crucifixion, has now turned, and I feel the cheers had turned to despair. Even the centurion who was there overseeing the death sentence now stood in amazement and even could be heard saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Many of the observers had now turned and walked away, but what now? Jesus was dead. If we remember, this was the preparation day, the Bible tells us, the day before the Sabbath, and the Jews, to them, no one could be left on the cross on the Sabbath. Mark tells us that it was that evening has come, and the time was short to get Jesus off the cross and get him buried. You would be unclean to handle the dead on the Sabbath. But Jesus had no possessions. He had not pre-ordered a tombstone. He hadn't went to the local cemetery and picked out a nice plot under a shade tree where there he would be laid. If we remember some 33 years earlier to this event, the scene was somewhat similar. Mary and Joseph had arrived in Bethlehem with no reservations, no pre-arrangements, no maternity ward at the local hospital. Just a borrowed tomb or a borrowed manger would be just fine. You know, when I say there were no pre-arrangements made, I believe that arrangements were made. We just weren't given the copy of the itinerary. The manger was going to be borrowed. He wasn't going to be using it for long. And at his birth, it wasn't going to be long that he was going to be using it at his birth. And now as we jump back 33 years after that to current day, he is in need of borrowing a place for his burial. He didn't intend to use it for long. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to his death, now goes and petitions Pilate for the body of Jesus. Pilate was kind of taken back at the news and even calls for the centurion and asks him if he, in fact, was dead. And after the centurion confirming that, he grants the body of Jesus to Joseph of Arimathea. You know, just a little side note here, I believe the first one to hold Jesus at his birth was probably Joseph, his father, and the last one to hold him was probably Joseph of Arimathea, two Josephs. But it was Joseph who was offering up his tomb for the body of Jesus. The Bible tells us it was a new tomb. It was hewn out of the rock. Joseph had most likely prepared it for himself and his burial, but now he prepares it and offers it up to the body of Jesus. The Rock of Ages is now borrowing a tomb hewn out of a rock. One of the ways it describes this Joseph even here, it says that he was waiting for the kingdom of heaven. And if we remember clear back to Jesus' birth, there was another man named Simeon who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, at his birth and even at his death, Jesus was just borrowing things. He didn't use the manger long, and as we know now, it was the third day, and this borrowed tomb was empty again. Turn with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. And as we read this, let's hear the same invitation given by the angel to Mary and the others that they heard that morning. Now after the Sabbath, And on the first, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was light as lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said unto the women there, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, and as he said, come and see where the Lord had laid." You know, we know now that the stone wasn't removed so Jesus could get out. But it was for these women and all of us through all of generation that we could see the place where he laid. He's not there. He just borrowed it. Borrowing it again. Dear Father in heaven, as we come today, Lord, we're just so thankful for that empty tomb. We're just so thankful for the opportunity we have to be a servant of yours in this life. As we remember this death and burial and even your resurrection here, Lord, and these emblems help signify that to us, help signify your broken body and that it was beaten and torn apart by this bread that we have. And even that your blood was spilt there, pure and precious as it was, the fruit of the vine represents that for us today. We're just so thankful, and as the ladies were invited to look in and see, and so we are invited to look in and see as well. The tomb is empty, and you just borrowed it for a short time. But we're just so thankful that we can have the hope of eternal life if we're obedient to you. For your son's name we pray.